track 8. And now we come to Letters to the Editor. And we're reading 3 this week. The first one is entitled Why Tie Energy Strategy to a Dwindling Resource? And is from Barry Cohen via email. Here's yet another example of Trump's plans not working. His drive for fossil fuel dominance is being quietly sidestepped by the market itself. General Motors, having built up serious battery expertise through its electrical vehicle program, is now turning that knowledge towards the grid. It's just announced a partnership with US storage firm Peak Energy to develop sodium-ion battery cells specifically for grid storage. The advantages over today's lithium-based systems are real. Sodium is cheap and abundant, freeing American grid storage from dependence on lithium supply chains currently dominated by China. And because sodium-ion cells run cooler, peak systems need no active cooling, and fewer moving parts make them cheaper to run and maintain. Almost all new electricity generating capacity being built in the US right now is solar, wind, or battery storage. Investments like GM's show industry betting on the trend continuing, regardless of what the White House wants. Instead of Trump seeing the direction of travel and backing it, he's trying to hold it back, but he's losing. Will Farage and Badenoch copy his approach as they do on most issues? And like the USA, our North Sea oil and gas resources are small, expensive to extract, and rapidly depleting. Blindly tying our energy strategy to a dwindling resource won't deliver energy independence. It would just leave the UK lagging behind while global competitors secure the technologies of the future. Trump's King Canute Tribute Act will not hold back the waves of market forces. Renewables are the future, and clinging to the outdated era of fossil fuels makes less and less sense.
What, with a double T, is going on? This is from Steve Jeffrey via email. I was watching live data on Britain's electricity supply early one morning last week, and I noticed we were importing more than a quarter of our power from 5 neighbouring countries, which is more than usual. Why? When we have plenty of gas generation sitting idle. The answer is simple. It's cheaper to buy electricity from abroad than to burn gas at home. That tells you everything you need to know about the cost of gas. Look at the past year's figures, and the picture is striking. In all but a handful of weeks, wind and solar generated more electricity than all our fossil fuel plants. If we double that clean capacity, which is entirely achievable, we would potentially need no gas for electricity generation at all. In fact, we'd frequently have surplus electricity to export through the very same cables we currently use for imports. Exports would help neighbouring countries cut their gas use, pushing down regional gas costs by reduced demand. It would also mean income for us. The economics couldn't be clearer. When gas supplies less than 20% of Britain's electricity, average wholesale prices are less than half what they are when gas supplies more than 50%. Every new wind turbine and solar panel is a step away from expensive, volatile gas and towards stable, homegrown power. More sustainable, clean energy means lower bills, less dependence on global gas markets, thousands of good jobs, and more protection for our planet from greenhouse gases. The required direction of travel is obvious. We just need to get on with it.
Giving domestic abuse the red card. This is a letter from Gemma Sherrington, Chief Executive of Refuge. As the Men's Football World Cup commences and England head to the pitch, millions of people will come together to watch the big games. For many, football is more than a sport. It is a community, united by passion and hope. But beyond the anticipation and excitement, football tournaments can take on a very different meaning for many women and their children. During this year's World Cup, you will likely see headlines about rises in reports of domestic abuse. Behind big matches where tensions are running high, it's women and their children who are most at risk. At Refuge, the UK's largest specialist domestic abuse charity, we support thousands of survivors on any given day. But no matter whether a team wins or loses, football doesn't cause abuse. Abusers do. While these tournaments can exacerbate pre-existing behaviours, abuse happens all year round, often hidden and unreported. Abusers may use football or alcohol intake as an excuse, but there is never any justification for domestic abuse. It is the abuser's conscious actions alone that are to blame, not external events or circumstances. It is a choice, and it must be challenged. This World Cup, we're urging everyone to stand with survivors and give domestic abuse the red card. Together, we all have the power to shift the narrative, hold abusers to account, and reclaim the true spirit of football.